Good morning.
Good morning, Pastor.
We've gone through February. We've come into March now. We are in the season of Lent, and it's good to have you here as we gather for worship. It is a special day as we will be celebrating the Lord's Supper as part of our service later at the end of the service today. I want to send a special welcome to you. If there are anyone special visiting for the first time, we send a special welcome to you. Please, make sure that you introduce yourself to me and to other folks here as you leave today. I want to invite everyone to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in the kitchen right beside the parlor. And you'll note on the inside back cover of the bulletin, the calendar for this week. And not a lot of activities going on, but do want to point out right underneath that daylight saving time begins next weekend. So everybody that likes that extra hour in the afternoon, you're rejoicing. Those of us who like it in the morning, it's like you're going to be in darkness again. But so please remember to set your clocks ahead 1 hour next Saturday, because you don't want to be late for church next week. Heavens no. Heavens no. During coffee hour today, too, there is Rolling Island and the counter in the kitchen, there are a few more opportunities for you to support one of our missionaries by signing up to purchase a tangible thing that they've asked for in their ministry for our White Cross request. Also, we are beginning the promotion of one of our four annual mission offerings, and that is the America for Christ offering, and there is an insert in your bulletin about that. This is mission dollars that stay here in the United States and Puerto Rico, support our American Baptist Home Mission Society work. Also, about 30% of the dollars stay here in Massachusetts as our region as well. So it supports our local ministries, mission work, as well as our national ones. So we'll be hearing more about that in the coming month. A letter did go out, from what I understand, it has not arrived yet, but should be probably arriving tomorrow in the mail. So at this time, I invite you to turn in the hymnal to selection number 45 for our responsive call to worship. I invite you to read responsively from God's holy word from Psalm 131 as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship. We are here in the presence of God.
Stripped of pride and of all sense of our own importance.
God has called us to be still and quiet.
To sense the comfort of His Spirit and the satisfaction of His presence.
O fellow pilgrims, let us put our hope in the Lord.
Both now and forevermore. Amen.
We are here to place our hope in the Lord, and our opening hymn is Great is Thy Faithfulness, number 44. We'll be singing verses 1 and 3 only, and those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
Okay.
Let's pray together. Ever-present and faithful God, how often we are neither present nor faithful. We find it hard to be in your presence, for we are reminded of our unworthiness. We find it difficult to be faithful, for the claims of the world are so strong. But on this day, we are here to worship in spite of our neediness, for you are worthy of our praise, even if we feel unworthy to offer it. We admit that we are in need of your grace, that your mercy you are eager to give. As we worship you this day, we offer this prayer in the name of Jesus. We now join in praying as he taught, as we say aloud together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated, and students and teacher may go out for their class at this time.
We have an opportunity now to share celebrations and concerns with one another as we go to prayer. And we want to remember the May family in prayer. Alan May passed away early Monday morning, and his funeral was held this past week. Jackie May's husband. And so we just want to keep his sons and their families in prayer at this time, and his sister Linda, that they are dealing with the transition time of mourning his passing. We want to keep them in prayer. Also, the Judson Association has set up a schedule of praying for each other. The church is praying for each other. We didn't get started quite as they started in February. So the weeks in March, we're going to be praying for two different churches. I want to suggest we pray for two churches so we get caught up. So today's assigned churches are First Baptist Church Melrose and Emmanuel Baptist in Malden. So it's two very nearby geographically churches, but very diverse congregations, but sisters of ours. And we want to lift them up in prayer today and just pray for God's will in their lives. And just, as I think most congregations are doing, especially in this area, there are struggles going on. We just want to pray for them as they seek to minister and follow God's leading in their lives. Do you have any requests for prayer today, or celebrations or concerns? Peggy?
For Linda, she has to have a full sinus operation.
Okay.
They have to go through all her sinuses.
Okay.
And for Michael, they call him for a job.
Okay. Michael's looking for work. Okay. Anyone else have a prayer request? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up something that's mentioned here or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for the opportunity of coming together today to worship you. The day seems so calm and weather-wise, O God, after Friday's storm, and we are thankful that for many of us, if not all of us here, that we weathered the storm well, that there was minimal damage perhaps at our homes. But Lord, we pray for those who have been deeply affected by the storm. Those who have losing their homes, have lost power, and still are without power and perhaps not able to return to their homes yet. Lord, we just pray for those that are beginning to pick up the pieces and to begin thinking about how to rebuild their lives. We pray, oh God, also for the first responders, those whom we witnessed in pictures and on videos on Friday, going into flooded areas, rescuing families, but also those who are still working now, trying to reconnect power lines and also checking on communities. Lord, we also pray for the Melrose community as there was a house fire there over the night. We just pray for the family that was displaced there as well by that. And Lord, our news seems to be so filled with tragedies, both locally and across our nation, that we just continue to hear of violence of all sorts taking place. And Lord, we yearn for a world that has peace in it, but we know, God, that only Jesus Christ brings the type of lasting peace. And Lord, we just pray that if we may be some agent of that kind of peace in our little corner of the world, we pray that you would empower us and encourage us to be able to do that, to be agents of peace. Lord, we lift up those who are ill today. We lift up those who are in mourning and sadness and pray for your spirit of comfort and peace to be with them. Lord, we also lift up our sister churches, the First Baptist Church of Melrose, the Emmanuel Baptist Church here in Malden. Lord, they are very diverse communities and very diverse ministries. Lord, we lift them up to you and are so grateful for their relationship through the American Baptist Churches and their ministry in their communities. Just pray, oh God, that they may sense your leading in their lives as a congregation, and that they may fulfill the mission to which they are called. Lord, we thank you again for the opportunity of worshiping you, and we pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. We are about to receive our morning offering. On Communion Sundays, we receive two different offerings. This first offering that we are about to receive is our regular morning offering that goes to support the ongoing ministry and mission of this congregation. At this time, the ushers receive your tithes and your gifts. Thank you.
great and gentle shepherd. As your flock, we gather here and present these tithes and gifts to you and ask that you would bless them and bless us, that we may speak to others in your flock outside this congregation. We may share it with those members of your flock that have strayed away, that they might come back to the fold. Lord, we just ask that you would bless our time together, bless this gift, and bless us. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
May be seated. So you just sang a history of the covenants, some of the covenants recorded in the Bible. That's what we're focusing on today. And we're going to focus on, I believe it was the fourth verse we sang about Jeremiah. And we're going to, the scripture today comes from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. And this is where we hear about the promise and the covenant that God's promising through the prophet Jeremiah. And Jeremiah writes, "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. A covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. May God bless this reading, hearing, and the application of God's holy word this morning. Let's pray together. Lord, you are a faithful God. You are a God of covenants, a God of promises, and you have always fulfilled your half of the bargain in our covenants that you have offered to us. But Lord, humanity has not been able to live up to their end of the bargain. And Lord, as we just sung, we talked about the covenants you've made with Noah and with Moses. And Lord, we just, you know, now focusing on this covenant that's a prelude and leading us to the covenant that you've offered through Jesus Christ. And Lord, we focus on the covenant from Jeremiah that's no longer written on tablets of stone or written with a rainbow in the sky, but it's written on our hearts. Lord, we pray that our hearts may be open today to receive a word from you that may help us and strengthen us in our daily living, especially our journey through Lent. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. 85 years ago this week, March 6th, 1933. I don't think anyone here remembers that day. But perhaps you've heard stories from your parents or grandparents about that Monday morning when all the banks in the nation were closed. This was a very difficult time in our nation's history. 7 days later, the President of the United States did something no president had ever done before. On March 12, 1933, at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, President Franklin Roosevelt sat in front of a microphone with a fire lit in the fireplace behind him, his dog Fala at his feet, and he had a little chat with the American people. It was his first of 30 fireside chats, and it came only 8 days after his inauguration, but it was a bold move using a relatively new technology. Until that point, presidents had rarely, if ever, addressed the American people in such a direct and intimate way. How things have changed. Roosevelt took to the airwaves to let the people know how the country was doing in the midst of the Great Depression, and millions gathered around their radios to listen in. The subject of that first chat was banking. FDR explained to the country in simple terms why so many banks had failed and why he had decided to close them down on March 6th, creating an extended week-long bank holiday. He then described the measures that Congress was taking to make sure that a banking crisis would never happen again. The president ended his chat by asking Americans to show confidence in their government by depositing money in their local banks when they reopened the next day. Miraculously, they did just that. Many who listened to the radio that evening trusted the president and put their money in the banks, and a crisis was averted. FDR had campaigned for president promising a New Deal for the American people, and he was determined to deliver on his pledge. The sincerity and compassion he communicated over the radio convinced many that he would give them a New Deal, one that would contrast with the old deal which had given them the Great Depression. Americans got New Deal programs such as Social Security and unemployment insurance, price supports for farmers and a minimum wage for workers, insurance for bank deposits, and regulation of the stock market. Of course, Roosevelt's New Deal was not the first New Deal. If we look back a couple millennia, we find the prophet Jeremiah going through a Great Depression of his own. He and his country were under the thumb of foreign and godless powers. Religious faith had vanished. And into this spiritual darkness, God promised a New Deal, speaking with the kind of clarity and compassion that FDR would use. The Lord promised to make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. When you think about it, what boldness that is, but what intimacy as well, what sincerity, what a deal was being offered. And we should note, as we listen to this covenant and consider it, the contrast between the biblical old deal and this new covenant that God was offering through the prophet Jeremiah. The first old covenant was based on law. And the second new covenant being offered is through grace, is offered on grace. And the second was based on works. And the next, the second one, the new one, is on faith. The first old covenant was set in tablets of stone. And the second one is in the chambers of one's heart. In the first old covenant, God writes the law and we obey it, or else. In this second new covenant, this new deal that God is offering, God writes the law and then helps us to obey it. It's not an obey it or else type of thing. In other words, God, speaking through Jeremiah, says to the people of Israel and Judah and says to us today, have I got a deal for you? Most of us at some point are looking for a new deal. We'd love a second chance, whether at love or relationships, whether in our career or even our faith. We'd love to start the day over sometimes. God's good news message to us is that this is the day. This is the moment to cash in on a great new opportunity. We're not expected to live in perfection. We're expected to live in faith. We're not expected to live for ourselves. We're expected to live for God. Here are some of the provisions of this new covenant. One is the new deal of amnesty. We call it forgiveness. God promises to remove our sins as far as the east is from the west and to remember them no more. This is also a new deal of trust and intimacy. God promises to be faithful to us, to embrace us as his children. For we read in 1 John, see what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. This also is a new deal of power for living. God now offers us the strength to conquer sin, the power to move forward beyond our past to a new life. And this new deal is a deal of responsibility. It's not like the new deal that was, it was a free ride. FDR himself, at the conclusion of his first chat, warned Americans, quote, we have provided the machinery to restore our financial system. It is up to you to support and make it work. It is your problem no less than it is mine. Together, we cannot fail, end quote. David Steele, writing in Theology Today, interprets the prophet Jeremiah in part this way. The people assume the covenant is about being privileged. Jeremiah claims the covenant is about being responsible. The way Jeremiah sees it, those folks are acting just like some spoiled rich kid who's doing 90 in his Mercedes and figures the world better get out of his way. He'll do just what he wants. And daddy's prominence, daddy's checkbook, daddy's lawyers will handle any difficulties. It is this attitude that drives Jeremiah to distraction. It is a travesty, a mockery of the second covenant. It misses the point by 180 degrees. Jeremiah knows the covenant is for responsibility, not privilege. This new deal is reaffirmed by Jesus on the very night of his betrayal. He took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he did the same with the cup later, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. The cup signified a new covenant with his followers, a new deal that brought forgiveness of sins, as well as a deep, personal, and intimate relationship. So what kind of deal do you want to broker with God? Whatever it is, it is no doubt already covered under the provision of the new covenant and symbolized in the cross toward which we are traveling on our Lenten journey. We can gather as one people at the table, loved, forgiven, and intimately connected. And there's no better deal than that. Let's pray together. Lord, we often are looking for the best deal out there. We find this promise of this new deal through Jeremiah today that's written on our hearts. That, Lord, it's no longer something external, but it's something internal that you are talking to us through our heart today. And Lord, we thank you that Christ came to fulfill that covenant, but to even to enliven it and to live it out in even bolder ways than Jeremiah could have ever imagined. Lord, we just pray now that our hearts and minds may be prepared now as we move to the communion table to receive the elements, that we may remember the promises that you want, that you make to us, and the promises that you want to fulfill in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn of preparation for communion is, I believe, it's I Come With Joy, number 747. We're singing verses 1, 3, and 4.
Deacons will now receive your gifts to the communion offering. Please join me now in reading our church covenant.
Heaven be led as we believe by the Spirit of God to receive Jesus the Christ as our Savior and Lord. We do now solemnly and joyfully covenant with each other to walk together with him in Christian love. We do therefore pray that we might watch over one another with Christian love, remembering each other in prayer and aiding each other in sickness and distress, that we will regularly assemble for the public worship of God and the observance of the ordinances of the Church, that we will maintain daily family and personal devotions in our home, provide for the religious training of our children and those under our care for the service of Christ and his people, that we will seek divine aid to enable us to affirm love, justice, and the unity of all people, and to work as faithful disciples of Christ, that we cheerfully contribute in our poverty, according as God has prospered us, for the maintenance of a faithful and evangelical ministry among us, for the relief of distress, and the spreading of the gospel to all nations, and that we will strive to live to the glory of God, who has given us life and who has called us to serve him and our sisters and brothers in the name of his Son.
Jesus is the host of the table today, and as the host, Jesus invites everyone to the table with these words. He asks, "Do you love me? Do you believe that I came to earth, lived among you, went to the cross, died, paying the price for your sins, ultimately was buried, rose again, and ascended to heaven and preparing a place for you for all eternity? If we're able to say, 'Yes, Lord, I believe,' Jesus says, 'Come, eat and drink with me.' You do not have to be a member of this local congregation in order to receive the elements, for Christ invites all believers to the table." Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the invitation to come to your table. We know that we are not worthy of that invitation. We've done nothing that merits that. But we know that your mercy is not based on good deeds, but it's on our faith. Lord, in these moments, we confess to you those sins that we are aware of that we have committed, and pray for your forgiveness. Lord, we truly are sorry. And we do pray for your forgiveness, that you would cleanse our hearts and purify our souls and prepare us now to eat and drink with you. Amen. As Jesus and the disciples gathered in the upper room for what ended up being the last meal that Jesus would share with his followers, they were reenacting the Exodus. And they were that meal that the Israelites were sharing in Egypt before God delivered them. And that was prior to them receiving that covenant from God of the tablets of stone in the wilderness. But it was a meal that was celebrated, the Passover meal was a Jewish tradition celebrated every year. And so, pretty routine as to the words that were being said. And Jesus took bread from the table, and I'm sure the disciples sitting there were half listening, maybe only because they knew what was going to be said. And he gave thanks to God for the bread and began breaking the bread and telling his disciples, "This bread represents my body that's broken for you." And he told them, "Whenever you eat this bread, remember me." Ministering in his name, we share with you the broken bread. Thank you. broken body, broken that we may be whole. Let us eat in memory of Jesus. The meal in the upper room continued. Jesus took the cup, gave thanks to God, and began passing it among his disciples, encouraging them to drink from it, saying, "This cup is a new covenant, the new deal, a new relationship between God and humans. It's not sealed with a rainbow or a tablet of stone, or even just written on your heart. It's sealed with my blood. And whenever you drink it, remember me." Ministering in his name, we share with you the cup. Shed on the cross. Blood meaning, giving life. Death on the cross so that we might have life. Abundant life. Joyful life. Life eternal. Let us drink in memory and thanksgiving of Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you allowed your body to be broken and your blood to be shed for us. Unworthy that we are. Lord, we just pray that by having been together today and receiving these elements, having worshiped together, that we may be strengthened for the continuation of our Lenten journey. We ask this in your name. Amen. Scripture tells us the disciples of Jesus sang a hymn that night and then went out. Our closing hymn is "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds," number 677. We sing verses 1 and 4.
To let us
has set before us a new opportunity, a new day, a new possibility, a new deal, a new covenant. As we depart from each other, may God's laws be in our minds and God's love in our hearts. Tell and show others the hope the good news of Jesus Christ offers us and them. Amen. Amen.